Family, good evening and welcome to God in the Picture with me, Zibuse El Kuneni. And once again, I am not alone. Tonight, I am with Lusani Nechitomboni. I know that he prefers the name Lusani. That's it.
That's it.
Straight like that. Yeah. So last week, we started a conversation about biblical leadership. And this conversation is important because there are so many things happening in our city today or in our country that needs us to be there, that needs us to take up the right kind of leadership. And how do we know that the leadership that we are implementing, the leadership styles that we are using are correct, or is correct rather? It is only when we know. Because the Bible does tell us that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Now, I've asked Lusani to prepare a series of insights, if we may call that, so that he can help us unpack them and make them real for us. So I would urge you, friend, that while you are sitting and listening or wherever you are, if you can take notes, if you can do anything, that you'd make sure that you take notes and you allow yourself to receive. It's one thing to be given something, it's another to receive what you have been given. So tonight, he is going to give us something and it is up to us to receive. And then I step off the floor and allow Lusani to then take us through. By the way, for those who did not tune in last week, the podcast episode is available on Impact 103's website under On Air shows. And then you can find the podcast link there. Now, he is a father. He's a husband to one wife. He is a father to two children, because then there are other children that he's socially fathering, not biologically. Don't worry, my friend, I'm not throwing you under the bus. And also, he's a son and a servant of God the Most High. And he's a very wise man. I'm not putting him under pressure. I'm just sharing you from the conversations that we've had. Tonight, he's sharing with us about integrity. Good evening.
Good evening, Zibuse, and thank you very much for the opportunity to once again have this conversation.
Yes.
I'm very excited about this because it is a subject that is very close to my heart. But what I've also realized is that when you talk about integrity, it's actually easier said than done. And I suppose one of the things that we have to do is to really begin to say, but what is integrity? I've always looked at it this way. Integrity, from where I'm sitting, is who or what you are in the dark. When no one is looking at you, when no one is listening to you, when no one is watching what you're doing on the phone or in your bedroom, wherever you are. If that was to be exposed and put out there in the open, what would be your reaction? If someone was to take your PIN, your cell phone, and say, give me your PIN and let me have access to every file in your phone, what would be your reaction? And I think I know I'm simplifying this very much to say who you are or what you are in the dark. But I think if you take it a step further, it basically means that there has to be alignment between what you say and what you do. It's one thing to say, I believe in this, I stand for this. But when you say it, when it comes to the crunch, do you act in a way that aligns with what you are saying? And if there's no alignment between the two, then we have a problem with integrity. And I think that is a general approach that I would take when it comes to integrity. But I think we need to also look at it this way. We're talking about leadership and integrity in the context of the Bible. And I would want us to look at it and zoom into some of the key stories, if I can call them that, which from where I'm sitting begin to explain the whole concept of integrity. One of the books that is often referred to when we talk about integrity is Daniel chapter 3, which gives us the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I think one of the things that is often talked about is they were stirring a fiery furnace because they refused to worship the idol that that King Nebuchadnezzar put up there. And what is often focused on is their refusal and what then happened afterwards. But if you think about it, what they did, their action, was a result of their lifestyle behind the scenes. One of the things that comes out very strongly is their prayer life. If you look at that, it is a result of that prayer life and an understanding of their identity that enabled them to be able to say, "Oh, King, we hear what you're saying, but we're not going to worship your idol because our God is going to save us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to worship this mm-hmm. idol." So it is their prayer life. What was going on behind the scenes is what then empowered them to be able to stand up to the king. And I think that is, for me, what is very critical when it comes to integrity. It's not what you see on the surface. What then gives you the ability to stand up to some of the most fiercest opposition? It's not just standing there, your prayer life and your relationship with God. And that is what really empowers you. It gives you that fuel to be able to say no to what is actually wrong in any space that you find yourself in.
That's amazing. You said something very powerful there. That when they faced up to the king and stood up to the king, it was not because integrity was something that was spontaneous or momentary, but integrity was a lifestyle. So that means we need to cultivate integrity throughout,
yes,
24/7.
Yeah, because if you think about it, it's not an event. Integrity is not an event, a once-off thing. If you were to go back a bit in the story of this for young people, they were in exile. When you're in exile, you're vulnerable. Under the circumstances they were in, you're vulnerable. The king makes a decree, you are going to trust it. You can imagine there's no law that is going to protect you. You are at the mercy of the king. On top of that, these guys, the names that they came with were changed, right? On top of that, they were supposed to eat the food that was served in the king's palace, obviously, firstly served to the idols. What did they do? They were also taught in the culture and religions of Babylon. What was that all about? Kill your religion, kill your culture, change your identity. You don't know what or who you are. They will fill you with all sorts of things. But what did they do? They started with the food. They said, "No, we're not going to eat your food, right?" But they did it in a very nice way, strategy. They negotiated the whole thing and say, if just give us 10 days, see how we look like. They were looking healthier after 10 days and wiser. But that in itself, it's a lifestyle. Already they knew who they were or they are in the eyes of God. And they knew their faith and their God, irrespective of the efforts to change their culture, change their names, inculcate the Babylonian culture in them at the expense of their own culture. Irrespective of all those efforts, those guys knew their identity. And they were able to use that to stand and say no. They knew their identity. They had a strong prayer life, and they knew their relationship with their God. Hence, they were able to say, "We are not going to worship this, irrespective of what or how the furnace looked like at that stage."
Yeah,
yeah.
I hear somebody on the other side who's listening saying, "I hear you, Lusani and Zibuse. All of this is good and well, but like everything else, this is easier said than done." Is it though?
It is. Let me put it this way. All of these things, if I were to do this on my own strength, I can easily give up. Because as a human being, I've got my fears, I've got my concerns, I've got things that I look at and analyze and say, what if I do this and that happen? What if? And that is a human thing. But I think this is one of those things that you say, God, as a child of God, as someone who knows my faith, who understands where I stand with the word of God and what the word of God prescribes, God guide me. The fears are real. when you stand with integrity, it does not mean that you are afraid. There's someone who used this statement that says, stand firm on your shaky feet. When you are afraid to stand for what is true, what is right, it doesn't mean that you are not afraid. But you are saying, I'm scared, but I'm going to stand on my shaky feet and trust that God is going to guide me through. And let's say in this case, he doesn't come through. It might mean that God wants you to go through with it anyway. In this case, he could have said, my child, my children, you're going through the furnace, you're going to die. That's what he would have willed.
Even if.
So their faith was not conditional on God saving them. And in this case, at a practical level, your faith must not be based on, will I be fired if I stand up for this? Will I have it difficult at home if I declare my faith? It says, I'm afraid if I declare my faith, if I oppose this thing that is seen to be the way to go by the powers that be, I'm afraid they might hurt me, they might harm me. But I'm standing on my shaky feet, firm on my shaky feet, but trusting in the reinforcement that comes only from God.
Yeah.
The reality is that standing for what is right, it's not easy. And God did not promise us that it's going to be easy anyway. If you look throughout the Bible, who had it easy? Even Christ himself, who had it easy really?
Especially in the context of our current economic climate, especially as a man, if, for example, I am at work and I'm required to either sign off on something that is just, I can see it's not right, I can see it's unethical, I can see it's going to compromise my integrity, let alone the integrity and the reputation of the institution that I represent. But how do I then navigate the reality that if I don't do this, what may happen is that I'll get fired and lose the source of income? It's hard to find a job. It's all of these things. How do I get to reconcile that with being a person of integrity?
You see, integrity is not going to be tested when things are okay. You can tell us you're a very strong man, but until you're put in a position where your strength is tested, we don't know if you're strong. But when you're placed in a position where you have to do something that you know deep down it is wrong, it will compromise you. Even if nobody else knows, you sign off on these things, nobody will know, but you know, and God knows. Take yourself back and say, why did God allow you to be placed in that position? Didn't he know that my child won't do this and is placed in a compromised position? Why did he allow that to happen? I always believe that God places you in a position for a reason. It might be part of your refinement for the next calling in your life. And I would say, at any given time, there's no excuse for compromising on your integrity. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they said, our God will save us, they meant it because they knew their relationship with God. But God saving them was not guaranteed. But they were saying, even if. So in this case, you can say, even if you had to lose that job, God placed you in that position for a reason. You may not know or see that reason at that particular time. And you are scared, and it's normal to be scared. But the reality is that God allowed it to happen for a reason. And you dare not fail. You can do it undercover, under wraps. But who are you fooling? Yourself? No. God? No. The person who's pushing you? No. And you're forever going to be indebted to this person to say, so we say behave or else remember that signature. You don't want that. So bottom line to the listeners, integrity is not something that is tested or proven when things are okay. It is under difficult, challenging, scary times that you should be able to say, I'm going to stand for what is right. My faith dictates that I conduct myself in this particular way, and I'm not going to compromise. God allowed it to happen for reasons that I may not know now, but hopefully downstream I will know. But even if I don't know downstream, I still trust God that he allowed it for a reason. And that is where we actually have to get to. Because the fear of loss of income, the fear of loss of status, the fear of all of these things is what ultimately leads people, a lot of people, good people, in situations where 5 years down the line, things happen. You cannot hide anything under the sun, let's face it. It's going to come out. And your reputation that you've built over years, in one moment of madness, of fear, you lose it. And you may live your life, all your life. God will forgive you, but you may never be able to regain that reputation, that respect, not even from your family. You may never be able to regain that. So there's no excuse, really, to say, I'm afraid, therefore I'm going to do what is wrong. Because that is what, at the end of the day, a lot of people end up doing what is wrong. Integrity is tested in the midst of adversity.
Integrity is tested in the midst of adversity. That's a powerful statement. This is a difficult one. I'm even thinking about, you know, how we get to define integrity. Integrity being from a mathematical perspective, where we used to have integers and fractions. And fractions, you know, it's partial numbers and so on. They come all kinds of divided and all sorts. But integers are whole numbers. 1, 2, 3, those things are absolute, meaning that, therefore, when it comes to integrity, there is no gray, but it is just what it is. It's no, maybe if I do partial or this, but it's simply this, black or white.
There are no shades of gray. Is either right, is right or is wrong. It's as simple as that. And I think that's why, if you look at it, once we start to talk about, maybe if I do this, I can justify this wrongness because I can steal because of what I'm going to feed the kids. Feeding the kids that are hungry is a noble thing, but does it justify stealing?
Never.
So once we start justifying certain things, that's where we're wrong. The Bible is very clear. Do not steal.
Yes.
So there's no, you can steal if. There's nothing like that. Do not commit adultery.
Oh, no, this one is small. No. I can steal this small.
No.
It's just a pencil. It's just an eraser. It's just a paperclip.
One of the things that I believe happens is that when you see the hardened criminal, they didn't start off as hardened criminals. It starts with stealing a pen there, stealing sugar there, maybe a chocolate there. And before long, you realize this person has actually lost it. And that is why, and the good thing about the Word of God in this case is that it's very clear. There are no ambiguities. What is right is wrong. There's a statement that is alluded to Augustine that says, what is right, even if no one is doing it. And what is wrong, even if everyone is doing it. So it goes to this whole thing of justifying certain things to try and get away with it. And the Word of God is very clear on that. There are no ambiguities. We have to do what is right, irrespective. There are no guarantees that you won't be fired for doing what is right. There are no guarantees that you won't have your tire slashed for doing what is right. But you have to do what is right. Standing up and doing what God wants you to do is a declaration of war against the devil. And that's it. When you accept your life as a child of God, as a Christian, it's a declaration of war against the devil. And it's going to come guns blazing. So hence, the Word of God is clear. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, we have to do what is right, even if we're thrown in the lion's den. It may not be the lion's den that they were thrown in there. It might be a different den. It might be different furnace, but it's furnace nonetheless. Like these four gentlemen, we have a choice to make. Is my faith worth dying for? And that is the question that we have to answer. Like we said, it's easier said than done, but we've got a blueprint here from the story that we've just referred to. They stood for their faith, irrespective of what could have done. They even went to the pit, by the way, and God saved them. Look at what happened afterwards. The king said, we must all now worship the God of these guys.
Yes.
Look at how God turned what appeared to be a very disparate, difficult situation for the good. of his work in a foreign land.
Hey, things of God are not easy.
But the word of God is very straightforward. All that we have to do is to trust that God allows us to go through certain situations for a reason, and he's in control, absolute control, irrespective of our fears.
And there is no gray area.
No, there are no gray areas.
So, friend, I know this is difficult to take, and I can understand you grappling with it, but the word of God does not have any gray area. It is this or that. And nothing about God, nothing about walking with God is easy. Because even Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, let this cup pass." And then he remembered it, and then he said, "Nevertheless, not according to my will, but yours." So the journey ahead is never going to be easy. And the sooner you and I accept that, the better it is for us to make those difficult decisions, even when it is difficult to choose the right decision. At least we can live with ourselves.
Exactly.
I made the right decision. So, friend, I want to leave you with Proverbs 11, verse 3. "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. As for me and my house, we shall choose integrity." What do you choose?